How's it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chewie, and I am one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and I am once again joined by the awesome Belle. How's it going, Belle?
It's going pretty good, and you?
I'm trying to survive the work week. Luckily, I only work tomorrow, which is Saturday, and then I'll be off Sunday and Monday, so yay me.
That is awesome. I work tomorrow, and then I'm off Sunday. And then I'm up again Tuesday.
Okay, that's not too bad then.
Yeah.
Can I ask, since you're off and then you're working and then you're off again, but...
Yeah, I prefer consecutive days off, but HR doesn't care.
That is so sad. But, well, before we start in the episode, though, let's remind our listeners that we can be found on social media. They can find us on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. And the best way to find those links is to go to our Linktree page. So linktree.com/myths-behind-lgds. And that link has been conveniently placed for you on the podcast description in Spotify and in our Anchor profile, thanks to Belle. So thank you, Belle.
Yay.
All right. So, okay, Belle, let's go ahead and tell our audience what movie we're talking about tonight.
The Fog by John Carpenter, I guess.
Yes. You don't sound very excited, though.
It blew. Like, I had never seen this movie. This is the first time I watched it, and I watched it today, and I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
I am not surprised to hear that, but let's keep our opinions for a little bit and let's take a little break and be coming right back with Belle's scathing review of The Fog. Okay, and we're back, Belle. So when I suggested some of these movies to you and you picked The Fog, I laughed to myself because I knew you were not going to like this. And I should have said something maybe, but I felt kind of in a mischievous mood.
Or you could have, like, not offered that option.
Not suggested it. It's because I was running through the Shudder list, and those were, like, the first three movies that popped up, whatever. So I was like, okay, let's just see which one she picks from there. And you picked this one, and I was like, she's going to hate this, and she's going to hate me for not telling her, but that's okay. I'll survive. So, okay, well, what was it about this movie in specific or in general that you thought was not worthy of your time?
The whole concept, I don't even know what was going on. Like, I know they tried to explain it here and there with the priest and the journal. I still don't know what exactly transpired. I just know the fog came in and these creepy looking seamen would come out with hooks banging on people's doors to kill people, and they needed to kill six people. And that was basically it. I don't know. Like, I feel like there was no real story. It was just kind of like, well, I want to make a movie about weather. Let's do The Fog.
All right. And, well, it's a nice continuation with Hooks, because we did Candyman last week, and now we have The Fog, and they use Hooks to commit their murders. So. So, I agree with you. It is, I mean, we usually see our scores to the end, and we'll do that, but just as a preview of the things that are to come for you guys as we talk crap about this movie to you. I like John Carpenter as a director, but this one is probably, if not my least favorite, one of my like last three for sure in his list of films. And I like the music. Normally, I don't know if he writes the music for this or not. I think he does, because he normally writes the music for all his movies. And I like the music in this. It's very kind of moody, and it sounds like typical Carpenter music. But besides that, I mean, that's about it. I agree with you that I think the story is not developed very well at all. And it's not like I expect everything to be told to me, like, point by point, but I feel like they could have done a lot better in the exposition, I mean, in explaining the background to this. And yeah, there's a couple of scenes, like you said, in which the priest is talking about the journal about his grandfather and everything, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I mean, I guess that's good enough for first impressions. So, I guess we can run through some of the scenes with this, with the audience rather. So, the movie starts though with some creepy old man telling a story to kids in a campfire. And I think this scene is pretty, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. It's not comical. I mean, it's not funny, but it's also not scary. You know, the intent is to kind of set the mood of the movie and give a little bit of backstory. But it kind of seems like the older man is just kind of like hamming it up a little bit too much. I don't know what you thought. Do you remember that scene at all?
I mean, I feel like they tried to be like, are you afraid of the dark? Even though this is before that show. But I would have preferred, are you afraid of the dark?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but you are 100% correct. This has that same vibe where they kind of gather around the campfire and telling scary stories. Now, most of these kids they look super young, maybe like what, like 7, 8 years old?
Yeah, or maybe a little younger, but yeah, around that age.
Yeah, and this man is like 70 something, and he's telling these stories about death and ships crashing into the lighthouse, rock, whatever. So I thought it was, again, not funny, but funny in a way. Like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I can't find the word right now. Maybe I'll think about it later. But anyways, so this is when he's telling the story about a ship crashing into the rocks, and this place is called Antonio Bay, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
But that's not a real town, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
I
Like,
mean,
I wasn't even that intrigued to look anything up.
I do know that it's set in California, but I don't know. I don't think it's a real town because they usually make up the towns for movies like this. And so then you get a scene with a priest, and he finds a journal, and the first thing he's reading is says something about midnight till one belongs to the dead. So that kind of sounds a little ominous, but I don't know. It's a little weird. And then the scene, as and mind you, this is still showing some of the credits, like some of the people that made the movie, and this is still going on as the credits were rolling, kind of the intro credits. And you see weird stuff happening with the electronics, like the gasoline pump starts pumping by itself, and the cars start turning on and off and honking. So, when you were watching this, was that kind of getting you excited for the movie, or were you kind of like, what the hell's going on? Like,
No, I started thinking of Maximum Overdrive, and I was like, man, I really love that movie. And then I started thinking about that movie.
did you wish we had watched that one instead?
Yeah, but it's not even it wouldn't be considered a horror movie.
That's more of a horror comedy, I think. We can still do those movies. I mean, it's still considered scary, quote unquote. So, maybe
But
someday.
as far as seeing everything go to shit, it was just kind of like, is this what the movie's going to be about? Because remember, I have never seen this. I have never heard anyone talk about this movie, so I didn't even know what I was going to expect. So I just thought, well, maybe it's just about the fog coming in and ruining people's things and breaking car windows.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the remake?
No, I've seen The Mist. Is that one?
It's a different story, but I think it's inspired by this. But it's a different story altogether. But the remake, I believe, was made in the mid-2000s, 2007 or somewhere around there. Eight, sometime around that time period. And they give a lot more background to the story and stuff like that, but it's more of a teenage type of movie, if that makes sense. Like the typical high school teenager movie type of thing.
Yeah.
Because in this movie, the protagonists are all older people, I guess people in their 20s and 30s. But in the remake, it's, I believe, a couple of high school kids that are the main protagonists. And just for the record, I don't think you would like the remake either.
Don't plan on watching it.
So now we meet this guy who I don't know his name in the movie. I just call him by his real name, which is Tom Atkins, the actor. And he's drinking and driving. and that's, I mean, I shouldn't be laughing about that, but I mean, it's Tom Atkins. And Tom Atkins, To me, it's one of the most badass 80s B horror movie actors. I've seen a lot of his movies and I always like his performances. This one was a little bit less enthusiastic, I think.
They were all off their game.
I think so, right?
Like, was this the beginning of Jamie Lee Curtis's acting career?
This was, I believe, maybe her third or fourth movie.
It kind of showed. Like, there was this one scene that bothered the hell out of me that they didn't edit it or could cut that little piece out, where they're at the, this is like later on in the movie, when they're at the bar and he's like, let's go because they're going to go to the weather station. And then she turns around to put the beer on top of the bar. But then, like, as she was about to, like, walk away without the beer, then she grabs a beer again and then walks off with it. I'm like, what are we doing, girl? Well,
Well, I guess as long as she's not driving.
I know, it's just more like, did she mean to put it? Just looked like an awkward scene, and it just looked like she wasn't sure what she was supposed to do, but she still just, like, went with it,
Oh, I
you
see what you
know?
mean. I see what so it kind of looks like a blooper type of thing or like a
Yeah,
Yeah,
like
okay.
they should have edited just that little piece out.
Okay, well I maybe you can say that it can be interpreted as for like I'm gonna need this for real. Like it's gonna be a crazy ass night, so I need something to deal with this type of thing.
Maybe.
But I mean, maybe it was a blooper. I mean, I often wonder how many scenes in movies, not just in this one, but in general, are outtakes or bloopers or improvised that are left. And I've heard about a lot of movies that leave stuff like that in the main version of the or the final version rather of the movie. So. Anyway, so we meet Tom Atkinson. He's drinking and driving, living his best life, kind of. And he picks up Jamie Lee Curtis. And I think she tells him that she's gonna go hitchhiking to Canada or something like that. Or
Yeah, I think so.
somewhere around there. And it gets a little weird right away because, like, they start hitting on each other and it's like,
Yeah. Then they end up in bed right away after the windows break. I don't know.
Yeah, that was super weird. I mean, so they're talking to each other in the car or the truck, whatever, and they kind of start giving each other hints of, hey, you know, I like you type of thing. And then the windows shatter from no reason. And he's, hey, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And the next scene cuts and they're like they're waking up together in bed. I was like, the fuck, like
Yep. Just random.
I wonder if this is some kind of or if that scene specifically is some sort of like middle-aged fantasy.
Because it's a young hitchhiker.
I mean, that doesn't happen to people, does it?
Well, I mean, it did back then in those times, though. Hitchhiking was more, I don't know, widely done, I guess, because I mean, and people kept getting killed, so I think that's what stopped it.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about in the context that is shown in the movie, where that some middle-aged dude is driving around. And he picks up this pretty girl, and the girl's immediately into him, and it kind of looks like the beginning of a bad porno type of thing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if they're prostitutes.
I don't know that. It may very well be that I'm getting close to middle age and I'm kind of catching these things, and it's like I hope I don't turn into that kind of guy where
That picks up
no that thinks that that's gonna happen to me. I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing to explain because as I'm approaching middle age I'm thinking like, well, I'm older now and it's kind of weird when I haven't gone out in a while since the whole pandemic thing, but if I do start going out sooner or whatever, I'm gonna feel weird looking at younger girls because it's like I don't know, it's just a little weird. But anyways, I don't want to get too much into that. So anyways, they wake up together, and then there's a knock in the door, or in the window, right? And Tom Atkins wakes up or gets up from bed, whatever, and he goes and you see that it's a hand holding a hook. So it gives you the impression that Tom Atkins is in danger. But then as soon as he opens the door, whoever was there is gone.
Maybe it was already 1 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Because the radio station lady is giving the time as the scenes are happening. Oh, it is now 12:53, whatever, and this song is this. And so she's kind of keeping you aware of what time it is. And again, that scene in the beginning with the context of the priest having that journal where it says midnight to one belongs to the dead, whatever. It kind of, okay, like, so obviously what happened is that it was 1 o'clock and this guy disappeared, like the ghost. But is the scene with the three people in the boat happening at the same time as this, or is it a little bit, or is it the next day? I can't remember.
It's happening at the same time.
It's the same night, right?
Yeah.
So what happens to that scene, Belle?
Oh, I don't know. They're there, and they're in the middle of the water, and they hear the lady say, the fog bankment, I think is what she said, is coming in. And then there's this one guy who's stuck at the wheel, and he's just like, I don't see no fog. He keeps repeating it, and then he sees it. Oh, I see the fog. Okay. And then they just die because the creepy men get on board and hook them to death.
So at this point in the movie, what are your impressions? Like, are you confused?
I was just like, I was honestly, I was like, why am I wasting my time? I was like, there was no real acting being done anywhere. I felt like I was watching someone's home movies or like their middle school movie, you know, that they made on their own.
Okay, so if you hadn't known that this movie was made by John Carpenter, we have thought that it was made by him?
No. No. Mm-mm.
And mind you, even though he's one of my favorite directors, a lot of his movies are not very well liked by anybody. They especially weren't liked when they first came out, but even with time, some of them became a little bit more popular. I mean, Halloween, of course, is pretty much liked by most people that have seen it. Or at least it's considered to be one of the classics of horror. But there's other movies by him that when they first came out were not really thought of as being great. For example, The Thing. To me, that's a great, amazing movie, and a lot of people hated it when it first came out. It was actually a box office bomb, believe it or not. What's another movie that people don't like too much from him? Prince of Darkness, which I think is a pretty creepy-ass movie. And I think he also did In the Mouth of Madness. Yeah, he did. Which, again, a lot of people didn't like. And that's a weird movie. I don't think you'd ever like that one, so I'm never going to suggest that one for the podcast. Because that one is a mindfuck. It's like, it looks like you... No, like... But, well, anyways, what I'm trying to say is that Carpenter's movies are not usually appreciated when they first come out, but then with time, some of them are, and some of them are not. And I think a lot of his later movies aren't really liked. There's a movie also called Ghosts of Mars. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
No, I honestly, I've only seen Halloween that was his. I didn't know he made other movies. And I know that sounds really stupid. Especially because I'm on this podcast, but...
No, yeah. I mean, there's no way that anybody can know everything about horror. And yeah, I guess he's one of the most famous directors, but even then, I don't know all of his movies, even though I'm a big fan of his. I haven't seen all of them. That's what I meant to say. So, it's perfectly valid to not know. But, anyways, so the three guys are spotting the fog, and then the three weird, ghostly sailors kill them. So now it's the next morning, and this kid is walking on the beach, and he finds this piece of wood with the word Dane on it, I believe, or Dana?
Yeah.
Dane on it. And it turns out that this is the son of the DJ from the radio station. Mm-hmm. And we find out there's some sort of festival being prepared. I think it's the anniversary of the town, right? Like the...
Yeah, it's a centennial.
Something weird happens in the sense that the piece of wood catches fire on its own. The boy gives it to the mom, which again is the DJ in the radio station. She takes it with her And as she's broadcasting the songs of the day and stuff like that, all of a sudden this piece of wood catches fire on top of the machines. And it's now it's got a message on it. And it said, "Six must die." Right before she turns it off with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of that scene?
I mean, it was interesting because it leaked and then it made the tape recorder get all ugly and then like it did like the hidden message kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I'm like the weird voice, like ooh.
Yeah, kind of like when you play a record backwards and you hear Satan or whatever the dumb shit, whatever they say. Yeah, they did that. I mean, it was, I think that was the most information you kind of got. I did. I mean, I like the scene, I guess you could say.
So, I mean, I thought that was okay, like done okay, good, well enough, I think. And as this is happening, the lady with the festival, who actually the actress that plays that lady is Jamie Lee Curtis's mom in real life.
Oh, wow.
So, and the girl that's walking around with her is, well, a whole bunch of people from this movie came out in Halloween. So.
That girl, I don't know if you noticed, but she looked like she did not want to be there.
The assistant girl?
Yeah, in a ton of scenes, she looked so indifferent and she was just like this look of boredom on her face.
Do you think that was part of the character, or that was really her in real life? Like, get me out of here, God, what am I doing here?
I mean, I don't know. Her character was weird. Like, she was being a bitch to the mom or whoever the what is she, a mayor?
I guess the mayor's wife or something like that, yeah.
Some shit. I don't know. She's high up. I know she mentioned her title, the chairman of I don't know what. But she was kind of being mean to her or like passive aggressive. So it could have just been the character, but I don't know. It seemed too realistic to me, so I think she meant it. She didn't want to be there.
Maybe she's that good of an actress, Belle. She knows how to transmit emotions with her face very well.
They got one, yay.
Mean, would you say that she has resting bitch face?
No, she had one of those like her eyes wouldn't stop moving, the rolling of the eyes. Almost like she was possessed, kind of, the oh, thing.
Well, because I think the lady mentions that at some point that, oh, like, you need to be more. They had a conversation about how she, even the lady notices you need to be more into this and you need to be more helpful and more enthusiastic. And you can always seem like you're very off-putting or something that they had a conversation to that effect. So that's why I'm assuming. I don't know if it's the character. And it, oh, imagine, like, this is an actual, like, improvised scene because the lady saw that this girl was really, like. Bored out of her mind, and she's like, "Come on, girl, get it
I would prefer that.
That would be kind of cool, actually, I think. So, anyways, as they're walking around, they get to the church, and the church looks all deserted and abandoned. And of course, churches always are made to look really creepy in horror movies. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of the opposite of. Well, to me, like horror movies tend to go more for like the evil side, right? Obviously. So churches always tend to like look opposite and terrible, not inviting or enticing. That made any sense.
They get into the church, they go in there without being invited in or anything like that. And so they're calling out for the priest, like, "Father, are you here, Father?" And the father comes out of nowhere in the shadows, like, "What the hell, bro?" Jump scare. So he scares the lady, and then they're talking to him about the festival, like, if he's gonna go in and give his blessing, and he's like, "Nah, this town is cursed."
He's a drunk. Like, I wouldn't want him meeting my congregation, I would have him shipped off to a different church.
Have you ever seen or been aware of the trope that a lot of priests are drunks in movies or in books?
Yeah, but I mean, it's because I maybe because they can't release it in any other way. So they're stuck having to drink their problems away. But yeah, like there was another one that was a drunk. I forget what movie it was. It always sticks out with me. Wasn't it The Exorcist?
I don't know if he was a drunk in that movie or not, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, they're drunk all over. And then I just kind of wonder, maybe it's because the gateway, and I'm not being a bitch, but what if the gateway drug is God's wine, God's blood? That's what gets them hooked with alcohol. Because they got to take it like every mass.
Yeah.
And that shit smells strong.
I mean, it's a little sip that they take every time they
No, they gulp it.
or they chug it.
Well, they don't chug it. It's not a kegger. But like when I go to church, like he drinks whatever's left, and you see him like put the chalice back, or like up in the air, drink as much as it gets every last drop. So
Yeah, I guess I was thinking to myself, where's this church at Bell School too? Because I want to go to that church. It sounds like a lot of fun. Nah, and like I don't mean disrespect, but I think I or I thought rather that they would just have like a little sip and just put it back because then they invite people to drink, or some churches do.
yeah, but they eat the leftover. What if I'm just gonna shut up now because I'm gonna end up saying some more shit that's okay.
Okay, well, I
Let's
mean,
move on. But yes, priests are drunks in movies.
I see, and I wonder where that came from because I've never met a priest that's a drunk, me personally at least, but I mean, I'm sure that people out there have. Otherwise, where does this trope or stereotype come from, right? And me personally, the biggest drunk priest that I'm familiar with as far as horror media would be Father Callahan from Stephen King's books. So anyways, the priest starts explaining about the curse of the town. And this is basically where you get the most exposition out of the entire movie, I think, right?
I don't really remember this.
Yeah, because the priest reads some of the journal entries to them, and basically what you can get from that is that people in the town that they're in right now, Antonio Bay, I don't know how they found out, but they found out that this person was coming to the area near them, and all the people that he had along with in this ship had leprosy. So the people in Antonio Bay back in the 1800s concluded that, oh no, we need to make these people not be here. So basically what they came up with was an idea to sink the ship and make these people die and then proceed to steal all their property, all their belongings, which is when what they ended up doing. They caused the ship to crash against the rocks, and then after the wreckage they went in and pillaged, and they found a lot of gold, I believe, because the person in the ship, or the one of the people in the ship rather, was really rich. He had a lot of gold with him. So they stole all the gold and they used that to establish their town and I guess open businesses, whatever. What do you think of that?
Look at COVID. I mean, look how people react just because they think it's one ethnicity that brought the coronavirus. I mean, have we actually changed?
No.
So I mean, we're all still douchebags. But I wouldn't take a ship. But I would be like, no, don't get on my land, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable up to a point because, like you said, I mean, with COVID, people were being kind of careful about having other people around them or people that were trying to be mindful of safety concerns and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I would go as far as sinking a ship or making somebody's car crash or anything like that to keep them away from me. At least I would think. Hopefully not. But yeah, so this is where you find that story out. So I don't know if they mentioned how many people died in the ship.
I think it was a six.
You think? Nah, I think it was more than six.
Because like from when they like rally up, I see six of them. I think I see six. Like towards the end.
Yeah, so you think that's where that six must die thing comes from?
I think so because they took six of their lives, so now they want revenge for, the ones from the town.
For some reason, I thought it was more than six people, but I don't think they ever give an exact number. I
No,
guess.
because they're all over the place in the fog. I think maybe they just kind of like bob around houses and stuff.
Yeah, I think maybe that makes sense, I think. It might have been six. So then after this happens, Tom Atkins and Jamie Lee Curtis find the abandoned boat from the earlier scene because somebody, I believe, reports them missing, that they haven't come back into town. And so they go out and find it. What is Tom Atkins like? What is his job?
And the town drunk.
I
Hello.
thought that was a priest. But why does he go looking for the ship? Is he like a Coast Guard agent or what is he?
No, because he's friends with the guy that was on the ship.
Okay, I
So
see.
he's doing them a favor.
I see. Okay, so I see. There's things that I kind of missed. I've seen this movie before, and I saw it again for this episode. But there's always things that I miss for some reason.
Why did you waste your time twice?
I mean, I have to get a refresher. I can't rely on memory alone. Because I mean, it's been, or it had been rather, maybe 10 years or so since the last time I saw this movie.
I see.
Give or take. I saw the remake about 5 years ago, maybe. 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah, I mean, some of these movies that we're talking about, I haven't seen in forever, like Candyman, for example. And that was a good surprise, but this one, not so much. So yeah, like I always wondered why Tom Atkins was volunteering to go looking for this thing, because I was like, is he like a Coast Guard agent or. And if he was, then why was he taking a civilian with him? Jamie Lee Curtis. But
Because they fell in love.
yeah. And there's, of course, a mess in the boat. There's a whole bunch of empty beer cans, and everything's kind of just thrown all over the place. They can't find the people that are supposed to be in the ship anywhere. And there's a scene that I thought was kind of cool. I thought it was a Easter egg about Halloween. There's a scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is sitting down and talking to Tom Atkins, and she says something about, "I think it's just me, like bad things just seem to happen to me all the time." So to me, that's kind of like a throwback to her performance in Halloween. You know how she's this teenager that starts getting stalked by some random dude. So I don't know.
So then this one happened after that one.
This one was about a year or two after Halloween. Yeah. I think Halloween was her second movie. First or second, I don't know. And she might have made one or two more in between that and this. So, yeah, I don't think she had made that many movies by the time she had come out on this. And then another jump scare, she's sitting around and she's. Now it's Tom Atkins telling her a story about something about a coin that he found when he was a kid or something like that. And the dead body comes out of nowhere and just kind of like drops on her.
Oh yeah, he like wakes up and starts walking with a knife or some shit in his hand.
Yeah, that was a little bit after that though. That's when they're in the morgue, because they bring the dead body back to the shore.
Oh yeah. He like just falls on her.
Yeah, so the first time that we see the dead body, it just falls on top of her, like from where? Like where did he even come from?
From thin air.
Because they have apparently searched all over this boat and they couldn't really find anything or anyone. And now and then I think like some sort of like a locker opens up by itself. A storage locker.
Yeah.
And that kind of distracts them, and then as they're kind of trying to understand what was happening, this body just manifests from thin air, like you said, and just falls on top of this girl. So yeah, I always wonder where did this body come from, like from the ceiling of the boat, like so I don't know. And then of course, yeah, like you mentioned, they take the guy back to the shore and they take him to the morgue. And that's when he wakes up. But why do you think he wakes up?
Maybe as they kill, they join the crew. Well, like they kill him and now he's part of the ship.
Or maybe he's been possessed.
Yeah, that too.
I never understood why that scene happened.
Well, no, because when he falls down or whatever, they see the number three there. So there's already three dead, and they're still needing three more, but they're oblivious to that because they don't know that six people need to die.
I caught that part, but what I'm trying to figure out is why did this body and only this body wake up? Because I don't think any, well, first of all, the other bodies are missing. I don't think you ever see them again.
Yeah.
So you think they maybe left this one as some sort of message?
I think so, because I'm saying, like, I think it had to do with that three. I think that's the only reason why that body was there, because if not, they would have just not known about him, you know?
Yeah, because there was that whole thing with the piece of wood saying six must die, and three people already died, which are the three people in the boat.
Yeah.
This guy being one of them. So, I guess that's some sort of connection to. Yeah, I think you're right. That makes sense. But see, going back to what we said in the beginning, I don't think that was a very well-developed plot point. But I mean, that's just my opinion, and I'm guessing yours as well.
Yeah.
So then the radio DJ calls her friend the weatherman, who seems to be into her. And she's asking him about the fog, and he's telling her, oh yeah, the fog is heading this direction and it'll be here this time, whatever. But the fog's already there behind them. So it surrounds the weather station, and so he's asking who's there or something like that, and he gets what's coming to him. So let me ask you this. I know you don't like the movie, but did you feel any empathy for any of the characters that were being killed?
I only felt sorry for the babysitter. That's the only one. The others, I was like, nah.
So, well, let me ask you this again. Do you like slasher movies?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're entertaining, as long as I find them entertaining, yeah.
Okay, so would you consider this to be a slasher movie?
Nah, I don't think so.
How is this different?
Because honestly, I think it's more of a paranormal poltergeist kind of thing. Because, like, this the spirit of the ship people come back. And then they're actually able to like kill people. I don't consider it thriller. I mean, not thriller, sorry, a slasher movie. Because to me, a slasher is like chasing the person down and like, butcher knife kind of stuff. And then for this one, it's like they open a door and they see nobody standing there. And then they put the door even wider and they're just staring out into the abyss of the fog. And then they just hook them. So it's like there's not much of a chase.
But isn't that kind of what happens sometimes in slasher movies, where the killer kind of hides cleverly and then he gets people from behind or something?
But they're doing something. This one's just knocking on a door.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's no real effort. It's just like a lazy way to kill.
I agree with you. I do not consider this a slasher movie, for the record. But I'm just wondering, I'm thinking maybe some people out there in the world might consider this a slasher movie for some reason, but if anything, because there's some sort of killing force coming out after people with a sharp object. In this case, a hook or a fishing hook or something like that, a blade of some sort. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody out there in the audience thinks this might be a slasher movie, do let us know, because we'd be pretty thrilled to hear about your opinions on that question. And I'm actually gonna post that on Twitter, even though I didn't post a Twitter poll this week. I kind of forgot. Sorry, guys. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna post this one, and I'll maybe comment on it the next episode if I remember. So, yeah, but I think I understand your point. I don't think this is a slasher movie, but I'm just wondering if anybody other thinks it is. But anyways, so the weatherman gets it, and the radio DJ lady starts thinking something's going on, so she's calling the police. Or sorry, she on the radio station, she asks the police to call her because she thinks something happened to her friend. And this is when things start going to shit because everything on the island pretty much dies out as far as the electronics. The fog pretty much destroys all the electrical power lines. Let's try to do this mental exercise here. How do you think the fog would affect a town nowadays? I mean, if the power lines are still above ground, we still have the internet, cell phones. Do you think that wouldn't matter?
Well, because they couldn't they knock out the sat the what do they call it, the towers? I think they're called satellites or
The relay towers, I think they're called.
because I think that's what they would end up knocking out. Like if you're making it a modern fog, then yeah, they would knock out the towers, the cell towers and the lights. Because I mean, you can have internet all you want, but if your light's not on, you're not gonna be able to run your stuff. And then this, I mean, there's laptops, but I don't know. There's too many gadgets.
Yeah, I think they disrupt anything electronic equally, whether or not it's connected to the power source or not, or if it's wireless. I mean, because they end up, well, the radio equipment is a little unique because I think she ends up using a generator or something like that to power her station back up after the fog. So why couldn't they just ruin that instead, or on top of whatever they had done already?
Maybe because it's gas powered, because they couldn't take over the cars. All they did was make them like make the alarms go off, which is an electric kind of thing.
I think I'm thinking too much about this.
Yes.
I'm trying to give them too much credit, or I don't know what well, anyways, this is the point where the fog starts kind of engulfing the town, and she's telling everybody on the radio. But I mean, if the radios are messed up and the people have no power, how can they even listen to her message?
Well, they can in the car because it's battery powered and not electric. You know, if that made any sense.
No, it does. It makes perfect sense. But I would assume that by this time, most people are at home. It's midnight.
Well, no, because remember they were so like excited about the centennial and looking at a statue that everyone was out and they were trying to send people home because of the fog.
Yeah, but I don't think we have any scenes in the festival, do we?
I don't know if he had like even or not he, but the crew. I don't know if they had like a list of people they needed to kill or if it was just like random doors that they're knocking on. Like I know the priest said that he had to be one of them or something, but I don't know. They never made it clear.
Exactly. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I. They never said whether they had to be family members of the people that plotted their deaths way back in the day, like the descendants, the grandkids or great grandkids, whatever, or if any six random people would do. So then the lady starts telling people, "Go look for my son. My son is trapped in this house. Go find him, please. Go rescue him." And this is that scene that you talked about with the lady, the babysitter. That scene plays out kind of weird, you know, and she tells the kid to go up to his room, and she's gonna go look for whatever's in the fog. Like, would you do that? Would you open the door?
Fuck no. I ain't gonna open no door, especially like with that kind of chaos going on. The lights just went off, and then you have some weird, and then they sound like they're like gurgling or something. When they start knocking, it sounds like they're on a ship. I don't know if you caught that noise. And so it's kind of like, why in the hell would I open the door to that?
Yeah, see, I didn't catch that, so the noise. Yeah, but I always wonder why she told the kid, "Go to your room and I'll go find out whatever's happening," and she opens the door, and then the kid goes into his room, whatever, and that's when the sailors catch up with her. And I think it's like four or five of them that they just kinda like take her out and they just hook her. You don't see it happen because it's all obscured by the fog, but you can imply or infer what happened. So that was, yeah, kind of like the only death that I was, poor lady. And as this is happening, the other people are hiding in the church. It's Tom Atkins, Jamie Lee Curtis, the her mom, and the assistant and the priest. They're hiding in the church and they're trying to hold off the fog people. They're breaking through the windows and they're finding a way in. And this is when they find a golden cross in the wall. What do you think that means? That golden cross? I mean, this has got to have some sort of meaning.
Well, I just took it as it was the loot that was stolen from them and melted down into a cross.
Yeah, but I mean, why a cross?
Why not a cross?
Because me, I'm trying to think like a thief here, Belle. So.
They weren't trying to do it to be malicious. They did it because they wanted to save their town from people with leprosy. And then I mean, every town has to have a church, especially in those times, like where this movie is set. Like like the church is a staple of that town. So maybe that's why.
But well, I don't know. I'm not trying to get too religious here because I'm not very religious. I mean, I was raised Catholic, but my point in all this is that you're gonna steal gold and make a cross into it, and there's gotta have be some sort of symbolism behind it, and I can't quite put my thoughts together in a way that I could explain what I think it means. Because basically it's stolen gold from people that they murdered or that caused the other people's deaths, and they made it into a cross, which is like a symbol of Jesus and forgiveness and all this. So do you think they were trying to find a way to forgive themselves?
Nah. Honestly, I think it was just easy for them to do that because what else would they have melted it into?
Coins.
Yeah, but then wasn't it already kind of in some type of currency?
See, and that's what I'm wondering, because if you're gonna go ahead and steal this much gold, because that thing is huge, it's the size of a man. So the priest has trouble carrying this thing because it's like almost as big as he is. So how much gold is that? I mean, it's gotta be like a shitload of gold. For them to just hide it behind the wall of a church in the form of a cross, I mean, again, maybe I'm giving this movie too much credit and I'm trying to find meaning into something that may not have any meaning at all. But I don't know, that to me just never made sense. That's what I'm trying to say. Then
Oh, I just looked it up, and some people are saying it's because he's a crazy, murderous, guilt-ridden priest. So the guy's dad was a priest? Isn't that kind of against the rules?
the grandfather.
But how could he have kids? Is this Catholic Church?
I would assume so. I don't think it's mentioned specifically which denomination they are.
Maybe they're just like being like hood rich, you know, like once you get money and you've never had money, you like get flashy jewelry. That could just be it. Like they're bling.
As far as the origins, as how this person could have kids if he's a priest, maybe he had the kids before he became a priest. Can they do that? Do you know?
I'm sure you can devote your life afterwards, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
you
never
know,
heard of a priest with kids.
I hadn't thought about that actually. Like, you're right. How can a priest have, unless maybe he's adopted or
Or it's a pastor, because like there's some religions where it's pastors, but he had the priest collar. He looked like a regular Catholic
yeah,
priest,
they called him father too.
and he had all the velas and all that shit. And Catholics are the only ones that do that. A lot of the other what's it called, religions are not into saints and things like that.
So, well, if anybody out there knows how it's possible for a priest to have grandkids, let us know. And well, the priest takes out this cross and he's dragging it across the floor, whatever, and he's like, "Here, take this and take me too." And as they're about to take the cross and him, Tom Atkins saves him at the last minute, kind of thing. And so the ghosts disappear, and the ones that are trying to kill the DJ lady, because they're chasing her too in the radio station, And she climbs the tower, and she's at the very top of the tower, and she's got nowhere else to go now. And I think she actually gets cut by the hook, right? At some point.
I think so.
I think she gets cut somewhere, and she is trying to fight them off by herself. And then, as soon as the priest delivers the cross to them, they disappear. And so then the lady in the radio station is issuing a warning to ships out there at sea, like, be careful with the fog, stay away from it, whatever. And then the final scene with the priest, kind of like, oh yeah, I survived. And then it's like, oh no, you didn't, bitch.
Well, I think it's because his family has started it all, so maybe he really did have to die.
And he must have been the sixth person then, right?
Yeah, because no one else died from what I understood.
So it's the three people in the boat in the beginning, and then the weather guy, that's four. The old lady is six, and this guy is, sorry, the old lady's
No,
five. Sorry, I can't count tonight, I'm sorry. long day,
five.
guys. The old lady is five, the babysitter, and then the priest is six. So I don't know. It was kind of a weird ending, I thought.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird.
That was a weird movie, so I'm assuming, Bill, I can safely say that you're never gonna watch this movie ever again in your life, are you?
I'm going to block it from all of my streaming services.
I'm gonna make you a promise that this is the last time that I ever do this to you. How's that?
Don't believe you.
I mean, that if I ever know that you're gonna hate a movie, absolutely, that I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, give me a heads up.
Which is what I did because you had suggested another movie that for us to consider.
Really like Crazy Hospitals.
Huh,
There's just
what?
something about it. Like, it's like movie set there and just the history of, I can't even think of the name right now.
Asylums?
There we go. They're, to me, they're just very interesting.
Huh, so maybe we will do that movie later on, but not this one, or anything like this, rather. So I got some information from Wikipedia. Well, before I get to that, let me ask you, what do you think the ending means, besides the fact that it's six people? Do you think the fog's ever gonna come back? Are these people safe forever, or are they gonna keep coming back for more?
I think they're good. I think they got what they came for. They got their six bodies, they got revenge, and they got their gold back.
All right.
Why they needed to be at the bottom of the ocean, I don't know, but people are weird with their gold.
I mean, it's their stuff.
Well, yeah, but they're dead already. Like, I don't know. I guess at some point we need to let it go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine, but you'd be surprised how many people choose to be buried with their personal belongings when they
Yeah, I
pass away.
know, like Egyptians.
Yeah, pharaohs, stuff like that. It's like, okay, bro, you're not gonna be able to use it, but okay, sure.
Yeah, but because he might come back.
Well, now moving on to some of the facts here. Like I was saying earlier, from our trusty source, Wikipedia. So, The Fog was not well received by critics, but it was a hit at the box office. What do you think the budget of this movie was, Belle?
Oh, $100,000.
No. One more guess before I give you the answer.
A million.
That is correct. The budget for this
Oh
movie
my
was
God.
$1 million of 1980 dollars, mind you. So
Why? What did they use it on? A bunch of dry ice?
thinking most of that went to the salaries of the actors.
Obviously, and they weren't even that great.
Because by this point, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis was kind of a rising star at this point. I'm just guessing here, but maybe I'm thinking she got most of the biggest paycheck out of everybody out there. If not her, then probably Tom Atkins or her mom. So those three people are probably the top paid in the movie. But well, let me tell you this though, the initial budget was roughly about $1 million. But they have to go back and reshoot a whole bunch of scenes, and that raised the budget by about a couple hundred thousand dollars more. So that was about $1.1 to $1.2 million that they spent on this. And well, before I get to what I was gonna say, the movie actually made $21 million in the box office. So how much do you think a ticket would have cost in the 80s?
A dollar.
Maybe, right?
Well, that's an easy Google.
Okay, so maybe you can volunteer to do that for us, please, as I keep talking about this. So, ever since then, the movie has received more positive reviews, both to your surprise and mine. And it's now considered to be somewhat of a cult classic. So, yeah, I mean, I guess each of us has our own opinion. I am not a big fan of this.
269 to 546.
So $2 to five and change.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing here. That
That's a lot of
was
money.
like the average.
That's a lot of money.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
That's like $20. No, isn't like $5 in the 80s, $20 an hour, something like that.
Well, that's how much movies cost
It's not.
nowadays.
I haven't gone to the theaters in like 3 years, but also I'm out of touch a little bit here.
Oh.
If it's not too much of an indiscretion, how much did you pay for your ticket when you went to see the last movie you went to see?
Well, thanks to T-Mobile Tuesdays, I only paid $4, and that was for the D-Box seat.
Oh,
So it was a
wow.
total of $12 for all three of us.
Wow, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, or else I wouldn't have gone. I don't like being in a movie theater now after COVID. Everyone's so close to you, and they don't wear a mask, and they're just like eating and they're breathing everywhere. It's disgusting.
How did we ever do these things, right?
It's disgusting. And then it's like you see people walking around coughing without covering themselves. It's like, did you not learn anything? But
Not. Quick story before I keep going back to the facts. I would go to bars and pay with cash and lick my hands because I'm squeezing lime into my beer or whatever. I'm like licking my fingers and I can't conceive of me doing that any time ever again in my life. But anyways, I'm not go to bars, but I mean licking my fingers after I handle cash. I became this paranoid person after COVID. But anyways, there are a couple of more things I want to talk to you about, Belle, before I move on from this. And I believe I lost my page, but I can find that again. So if I remember correctly, going back to that whole reshoots thing, what happened was that John Carpenter realized that the first cut of the movie was terrible. Can you imagine?
Did he not see the rest of the movie?
So, what I'm trying to ask you is this. He made the movie, and he, as the director, realized, you know what, this movie needs a lot of work. I can't release this the way it is. So, to quote him directly, Carpenter said, "It was terrible. I had a movie that didn't work and I knew it in my heart." So, how bad do you think the first cut was?
Snoozeville? At least he wasn't like so full of himself where he wouldn't go back and fix it.
Yeah, see, and that's what I like about Carpenter. He's usually pretty honest about his job, about his work. So, if he thinks the movie's not that great, he will be the first one to admit it, because he's somewhat of a perfectionist, from what I heard.
Is he though?
I mean, I don't think even he could have salvaged this movie without completely reshooting the whole thing.
I mean, the one I really enjoyed watching was the radio lady. Like you felt her fear of the fog, and her acting was awesome. Everyone else was just not there. They phoned it in.
Especially because of the way she's trying. I mean, you understand that she's away from her child.
Yeah, and then me as a parent, like I would be losing it.
I mean, because she knows she can't reach him.
Yep.
And she knows that he's out there and that she can't help him or protect him directly. So he's trying to plead with anyone that can hear her to go and save him for her. So, I agree with you. I think she put, or gave, rather, the best performance in this. As much of a fan as I am of Tom Atkins and Jamie Lee Curtis, I think both of them were kind of like, eh. And so yeah, I'm just wondering if Carpenter himself thought this movie was not that great to begin with. And even with the reshoots, which by the way, they reshot one third of the movie.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean it's what, like 30 minutes of new footage.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bonkers. I would have just scrapped it.
I mean, Carpenter said that they added new scenes to make the film more comprehensible, more frightening, and gorier. Do you agree that this film is gory?
No.
Liked your little laughter.
There was no blood there. I didn't see no hooks sticking out of body. I didn't see them ripping them open like a pig. I didn't see any of that. It was just like poof, they're gone in the smoke.
So that's why I'm thinking. I mean, imagine maybe like in the other
Well,
cut.
maybe back then it was considered.
But I'm wondering like myself, like did they not have any death scenes whatsoever in the first cut? Because if this is what Carpenter considered to be gorier after the fact that they reshot one third of the movie, I mean, I don't
Who knows?
So, okay, well, clearly you are not a huge fan of this, and I'm not either, but I don't know. I'm a little bit biased because it's Carpenter and he's one of my favorite directors, but even with that, I'm not gonna cut him any slack. I'm sorry, Carpenter. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry, bro. I'm about to break your heart. Ah, like, he gives a fuck what I think.
As he counts his millions, I'm sure he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's crying in all the way to the bank now. So okay, Bo, I think we are ready now to give our scores for this movie. And I have an idea what it might be for you, but we need to establish some units before we do that. So what units do we give or do we use for this?
Hooks, I guess. Did we use that? The no, we used bees the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do hooks.
Okay, so how many hooks out of 10 for this movie from you?
I give it a half a hook.
A tip of a hook, if you will.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna give this a one. And I believe
Wow.
that may be the lowest score that I've ever given any movie on this. I think the lowest I've given one was a two, maybe a one and a half. But I don't think I've gone as low as a one. So, and it's only because it's Carpenter. If not, I probably would have given this a zero. In all honesty. So, he gets a brownie point. One hook out of 10 from me, half a hook rather, from 10 from you. And how
And
about
it's a rusty old half of a hook.
it's like a decaying half a
Yep. You find it at the bottom of the ocean after 20,000 years.
So, okay, now how about the ghosts on the scare meter? Are they scary at all? How many skulls do they get?
I mean, I guess you can get two skulls for randomly knocking on people's doors. That could be scary.
Especially at night with the fog, right? Because you don't know what's hiding in the fog, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, that's fair. I'm gonna agree with you and give them a two as well. So, two skulls from you, two skulls from me. And do you have anything else to add about this movie? Do you want to warn anyone out there to not watch it, or?
Don't waste your time, people.
Okay, so that was our critique slash rant about the fog. And after this little break, we're coming right back because Belle has some stuff for us, right, Belle? Right, stick around. All right, we're back, and Belle has somewhat of a surprise for us, myself included, because she refused to tell me what it is. So, all right, Belle, what have you got for us?
So there's actually this recent article that came out about 4 days ago, and it's about a town called Wichita Falls in Texas, which I didn't even know that town existed in Texas. I thought that was in a different state. But anyways, so apparently they are scared of the month of April. The reason being is because for some odd reason, they have a ton of tornadoes in the month of April. So it says, like, over the past 65 years, 8 tornadoes have struck Wichita Falls in April. And then 3 of them are really bad. So I just want to discuss, have you noticed any patterns in your city as far as certain months that you see certain things going on with weather?
Talking about me?
Yeah, you. Well,
well, I thought you might be asking the audience to chime in at some, but well, not right now, obviously, but maybe to leave a comment or something. Well, I mean, we kind of live in the same area, but extreme weather phenomenon like that, not really. The closest thing that I could tell you as far as unusual weather is the freeze that we had last year.
And I forget that it was last year. Like, for some odd reason, it feels like it was forever ago. And then, like, people still talk about it when they call in. And I'm like, oh, that was last year.
Yeah, I mean, and mind you, for us, that's very unusual. Like, temperatures down here don't really drop below the 30s, if anything. Ever.
And lately, it has been. Like, this year, besides the groundhog seeing a shadow making winter last forever, like, even now, sometimes you'll wake up and it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to that hot, sticky heat, even at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning when the sun's not even out.
I mean, the past couple of days has been a little weird because on Wednesday, it was super hot. Ridiculously hot. It was... when I left work and I got in my car and I was driving home, the car read 114 degrees Fahrenheit inside the car.
Oh, wow.
And that's because I parked my car in the shade at work. So I'm not in the sun directly.
That's crazy.
Yesterday and today, Thursday and Friday, it's been in the 80s. So it dropped about 25 degrees from one day to the next. And it's going to get hotter over the summer. I mean, for us, summer is becoming more and more unbearable. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And then, like, there's just, like, random weather that... Okay, so my sister lives in Harker Heights, which is right outside Fort Hood, Killeen area. And I think it was Wednesday. I think it was when we had... No, I think it was when it rained. Maybe it was Wednesday. Yeah, because today's probably Friday, right?
Today's Friday, yes.
Yes, sorry. It's been a blur. My niece was telling me that over there where they were at, they had tornado warnings, and then there was rain and hail, and which I think is, like, crazy. My nephew actually ended up getting into a car accident because the weather was bad. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's just weird how you're not even that far. I mean, we're 6 hours apart. So that's like, what, 300 miles?
6 times 6. Yeah, roughly 350, maybe. 300.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's crazy to me that just even a mile over, the weather can be so different. I don't know. I've just always been, like, because you can even see it, like, one town to the next. Sometimes it's raining, like, on my mom's side, and she's on the northern side of 107. And I'm considered on the south side of 107, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And it'll be raining on that side, and then it's, like, crystal clear on my end. I just think weather is bonkers. Like, did you know that there is lightning, ball lightning, that happens in airplanes?
No. What is that?
It looks like an orb. Like, lightning strikes it, and then it's like a ball of lightning that flies through the airplane.
Inside the airplane?
Yeah, inside it.
Does it hurt anyone?
I haven't heard of it hurting anybody. I didn't even know it existed. I thought, when my friend was telling me about it a long time ago, I thought they were full of shit. And they're like, no, it's a real thing. And then we looked it up, and I was like, oh my God.
That sounds fucking terrifying.
I know. I can't imagine flying when there's lightning. I've only flown, like, a few times. I don't think the weather was bad. Like, I don't think it rained or there was any turbulence.
That's crazy. That's gonna make me be in a plane even less. Have I ever told you that I've never flown in a plane in my life?
Why not?
Because I like being on the ground. I don't like being 3 miles up in the air, you know? Or whatever the fuck.
I was gonna say, is it 3 miles? That's not tall.
Nah, it's 1 mile, I think. Or I don't know. Well, you always hear about the mile high club, so I'm assuming it's a mile. That's my point of reference. This, of course, is a sexual reference. Because it would be, of course. I do, I mean, I don't remember. But one time my parents and my brothers and I, we went to Mexico City and we flew, but I was like 2 or 3 years old, so that doesn't count.
Oh, I see.
Because my parents have friends in Mexico City that, I mean, I haven't talked to them in years, but they're actually my godfather and my godmother. They live in Mexico City, and I haven't spoken to them since I was like 10 or 11. That kind of makes me feel a little sad, but anyways, besides that, I really wouldn't be able to tell you that. Yeah, I've flown here because I've never flown anywhere.
I've
So
been wanting to fly to Mexico because I've been wanting to visit my Nana's family. I haven't seen them since I was 15, so it's 16 years, right? Yeah, 16 years. And I would love to go back to Altamira and Tampico and stuff and just,
it's a nice area.
enjoy myself there. Yeah, but I'm too scared to drive. I'm too scared to go on the bus. My Nana, though, she's a fucking gangster and she still gets on the bus. She was just there last week.
Wow.
Last weekend she was in Tampico and I think she's fucking crazy, but she went for an eye doctor appointment. So
Wow.
yeah, she went on a bus.
See, and speaking of Tampico and weird weather phenomena, I have a story for you. I don't know if you've heard about this. That, I mean, and of course, this has to do with the fog because it's weird weather phenomena and unknown occurrences or whatever. But basically, there's some sort of conspiracy theory that says that area of Mexico, Tampico, Altamira, all that stuff, has not been hit by a hurricane in several decades because there is an underwater alien base in that area of the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that. My Nana was talking to me about that.
What did she tell you?
She was just telling because there was I forget which hurricane it was at the time that there was one like off the into the ocean, and I had asked her, is your family worried? Because the hurricane may hit them, and she's like, oh no, and this is on Spanish, but I'm not great in Spanish. She's like, oh no, they haven't had one in a very long time. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah. And then she started telling me about that story that they think it's because of the alien, or would you even call it paranormal? I would you consider no, aliens aren't paranormal.
No, it's not paranormal, but there's a word for that in Spanish, esotérico, I guess. It's esoteric. That means kind of like unexplained or something like that.
She didn't go into detail with me, but she was just mentioning like that's something that's always been said.
So, do you think that might be true?
I think so because, well, I don't know if there's a base underneath there. What if they have the technology though to deal with the hurricane? I mean, isn't it just water? If you're an alien.
I don't know. I mean, from what I've read on this kind of stuff, is that they settled there because they like the composition of the water or something like that, like the temperature and the quality of the water, I guess. They're comfortable in that. So that's why they build their base under there, if you believe the articles or whatever. And to avoid having their base destroyed by underwater currents caused by hurricanes or something like that. That they have some sort of weather reflector machine or something like that. And when I was a kid in the late 80s in Reynosa, growing up on the other side of the border, there was this hurricane. And of course, hurricanes have names of people, right? So,
Yeah.
Hurricane Gilberto or Gilbert, but Gilberto was supposed to hit directly. If not in Reynosa, around maybe a few miles south. So we were expecting a lot of rain and water and flooding and stuff like that. And at the last minute, the hurricane changed its trajectory and it headed straight for Monterrey.
Oh,
like
wow.
directly to them. Like it just like it seemed like within hours the hurricane like maybe like it literally looked like it changed its mind. And it's like, no, I don't want to go here. I'm gonna go here, and it kind of took like a big detour. And it hit Monterrey, and it caused a lot of flooding and damage. And it was people were surprised. I guess, weather scientists were surprised as to how drastic the change in the trajectory was, because it was really a lot from what I've read. And
Wow.
so, was that the aliens? Was that some sort of other, I mean, I don't know what else could have caused that. I mean, I can't remember reading anything about us. Maybe the winds, maybe like a cold front coming in or something. But I think it was in the summer, so it couldn't have been a cold front or anything like that. I don't know.
But they would have known too, like if the cold front was coming, like the weather people, the meteorologists.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've always thought that's kind of a interesting phenomenon. Have you ever been in a tornado or anything like that?
I've never, I mean, I've just in that hurricane that wasn't that bad.
Well, that was like a couple years ago.
When was it? Yeah. And I remember there was something going on. We were in Corpus and then we had to drive back, but my dad would not stop driving, but the rain was where you couldn't see in front of you. Like it was bad, but he refused to pull over. So there, I was honestly scared. I was in the back seat scared because I didn't know like if we were gonna make it home because it was like crazy ass rain. I don't know what storm was going on. I was like in elementary when this was happening.
Wow.
But yeah, that's always stuck with me because now when I can't really see the road, it really like it triggers me. I'm like, oh my God. It freaks me out. Yeah. And I'm like 10 and 2 and like trying my best to stare at the lines. Like it's just, yeah. I'm kind of scared of weather because it's so strong and unpredictable.
But you guys did end up getting through that. I mean, obviously, but
Well, yeah.
he didn't stop at all.
He refused to because there was cars parked on the side of the road because they couldn't see while they were driving.
Yeah.
But Mexican dads.
I was just reminded of a story after that story you just told us right now. I was reminded of a story that happened when I was already in high school, I think. I must have been about 15 or 16 years old. And my dad grew up in a ranching community about maybe about an hour south of Reynosa. So when I was younger, we'd go there a lot more often. We'd go there pretty much every weekend, every Sunday. And we'd be there all day when I was a kid and just kind of go back and clean the house and stuff like that. As we've gotten older and violence, the situation got more delicate. I haven't gone back to that village in probably 10 years, 8 years or so. And well, anyways, when I was still younger, we would go more often. So one time we had gone, and we know the way back and forth like the palm of our hands, right? Because my dad, I mean, he grew up there. And so what you have to do is you drive on the road, on the expressway, whatever. It's not really an expressway, it's just a road. And then to head into the place where he grew up, and you need to go off-road into this dirt. Well, back then it was dirt, now it's paved, but back then it was just caliche. And you drove maybe about 10, 15 minutes into that road, and you got to that little ranching community, right? So one time we were there doing our thing, just hanging out, and then we were coming back, and it was night. It was already probably after 10 o'clock at night. And we're coming back, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, it was a pretty hot day. Not super hot, but it was maybe in the 80s or high 80s, yeah, I would say. Out of nowhere, as we're driving on the road, this fog just drops from nowhere. So mind you, it's a dirt road, so there's no lights, there's no lamps, there's nothing. And you literally could not see anything. That's how thick this fog was. And so my dad and my mom are like, what the hell? What's going on? And my dad, much like your dad, is like, well, I don't know, but we got to keep going. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, no, we can't see anything. What if somebody's walking in the road, or you hit an animal or a horse or something like that? He's like, no, it'll be fine.
And I wonder if they're like nervous or scared deep down, but they're like not going to admit it.
Well, yeah, because there was this side road to that dirt road that was even more desolate. So my dad's like, well, let's take the shortcut. And I was like, oh, it's a bad idea, man, but okay, whatever. So he gets off the main dirt road into the little side road, and the fog's even thicker there, I think. You can't even see anything at all. So we're driving in that, and he's driving like 5-10 miles an hour. He, like, you know, slow, because we can't see anything. And we're like, we're lost. Where are we? And my dad's like, should I go back? And we told him, well, no, I mean, we were coming this far. I guess we can just keep going. So, long story short, we're driving around the fog for like 10-15 minutes, which would normally be the time that it would take you to go back to the main road to head to Reynosa. And it feels like we're driving around in circles, because I feel like we haven't even moved anything, like, at all. Even though we're driving through this thick, dense fog. And then, as suddenly as it dropped, it lifted.
Oh, wow.
Like somebody just took a vacuum and just sucked the fog out of the air. And we had maybe moved like a few yards from the point in which the fog originally dropped. So maybe the length of what would be a city block, if anything.
So y'all weren't even lost?
Well, no, but my point is this. My dad was driving for 10 or 15 minutes.
No, but that's what I'm asking. Like, so, like, you barely moved anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's bonkers.
So he did, like, I mean, we were back on the main dirt road that would take us to the main paved road to head back into the city. So we weren't even in the shortcut. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
so what made him think that he was on this shortcut?
Because we were moving. The truck was moving. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, this is like how freaky that was. And I had forgotten about the story completely until now. That's crazy.
But I just want to know, is like, how did he know, or why did he think that he was turning onto the shortcut? Like, did he see a marker or something that you normally see there?
There's some sort of fence.
Oh, okay.
That you drive past, if I remember correctly. But I mean, I'm trying to understand, to remember this more clearly, because I remember the truck was moving for a good 10-15 minutes, and he was turning, and he was trying to find a way out of this, turning the wheel. Like, he wasn't just driving in a straight line. And by the time the fog lifted, we had maybe moved again, like, maybe like the what would be the length of a city block. So how many yards is that? Like 100, 200 yards maybe?
I don't know. Is so, it more than a football field?
So, I mean, let's say 100, between 100 to 200 yards. Just for the sake of an average, I guess. So the whole time that we're driving, I mean, as time is going by, we grew more and more scared. My mom was really scared. So was my dad. My dad was saying, like, he kept saying, where the fuck are we? Where are we? I can't see anything. And so, again, within 10-15 minutes, the fog, as suddenly as it fell on the road, it just lifted all of a sudden. and we hadn't even moved that much. So, have you heard about stories like that where people say they drove for hours and they only moved like, what do they call that? I think is it time displacement, or where they think they drove for like 3 or 4 hours, but or they feel like they drove for 20 minutes, but they actually drove like 4 hours or something like that. I don't know. I forgot what it's
I mean,
called.
I know I've heard of it, but I don't know that it had a name. And doesn't that's also kind of like a lot of alien activity, isn't it, as well? Where like you have like, I don't even know what you would call it. Like missing time or
Yeah, okay, yeah, so yeah, like you said, yeah, when people say that they see strange lights in the sky, whatever, and then time kind of goes by faster for them.
yeah, or does it move at all? I guess depending on their experience.
I've heard about that too, but I forgot what that's called. But yeah, but this didn't happen to us, so I can't remember any lights in the sky or anything like that. Maybe I was made to forget.
Maybe.
I mean, wow. This memory just came back into my mind after you said that story with the rain. Wow.
You see, now the aliens are going to come and get you. You sure you weren't supposed to remember?
I wonder. See, but that community, there were stories about apparitions, but nothing like about a mysterious fog that came out and took people for a while, and then it just disappeared. I've never heard anybody in that community say a story about that, but I have heard him say stories about allegedly ghosts that are walking around the paths in the little village. But I should probably save those for another time. They're pretty creepy. But yeah, I mean, wow. It is turning into some sort of regression therapy, Belle. I'm remembering things that I had forgotten completely that had happened to me. Should do this more often. So, wow. You got anything more to add? Because I'm gonna try to piece this together as the night goes on my own.
Don't think so.
That's weird, huh? Well, if anybody out there has any weird stories about weather or anything in general, really, but I mean, if you want to share those with us, or if you want to give us a comment, leave us a little summary. We can talk about it in the episodes that are coming up. But well, I'll try to think about this, and if I have any more updates, I can ask my parents if they remember that
Yes.
night. And I'll see if I can get them to talk about it. And if not, well, then too bad.
You'll leave us hanging.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was, I guess, weird weather conversations
Yes.
because of the movie The Fog. So, all right, we'll be right back with our closing remarks after this break. All right, Belle, so we are now at the end of our podcast episode. We want to thank everyone that took time to listen to this episode on the fog and weird weather phenomena and that whole revelation session that I had right now. I was not under hypnosis. I was conscious. Has that ever happened to you, where just memories just flood into your mind out of nowhere?
Yeah, it does. Like it just takes a scent or a certain thing and just triggers your memory.
Wow. This is one of the I can't really remember any other times that this happened to me, but wow, that's a pretty unique experience, and I don't know if I ever want to go through that again. I mean, not that I'm scared or anything, but I'm just wondering why I had completely forgotten about that until
The aliens didn't want you to remember.
huh. So if I'm not here next week, you guys know why. I'm in planet whatever it is. So anyways, Belle, do you have any shout outs for this episode as far as anything that you want to mention?
No, not this episode.
I want to give a shout out to the people that are always supportive on Twitter, sharing us stuff, recommending us to other people when they ask for recommendations. They say our name, and that's always very, very flattering. Thank you guys for doing that. I try to repay that in kind when I remember, but sometimes I forget. I mean, I get so caught up in my stuff that I forget to return the favor, but I shall be doing that pretty soon, hopefully. And as far as the next episode, Bell, it will be the 13th episode that you've been here with this podcast with us. And I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about
It's flown by.
that?
It doesn't feel like it's been 13 weeks.
Well, 12 technically, so
Well, you know what I mean.
yeah, so that's awesome. And we are doing which movie for that to commemorate this important landmark in our lives?
It's one of my favorites, Freddy versus Jason.
One of my favorites as well. So that should be a very fun episode. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun as opposed to this. The fuck? I'm sorry, Bill.
Yes, this one was terrible.
I'm sorry. I put you through this, partly because I wanted to see if you were gonna surprise me and say you actually loved it, even though I knew that you were probably not gonna like this movie at all. So.
No, I tried to like it, but it was like
Well,
a Dollar Tree movie, you know?
oh my God. Well, it's not one of my favorites either, so don't feel too bad about that. But anyways, I'm looking forward to next week's episode on Freddy versus Jason, and that'll be our last episode for this season. And hopefully by the next episode after that, when the new season starts, we're gonna have some changes in our podcast. Hopefully our logo will be different by then. Hopefully, our merch store will be ready to go by then. And, well, a few more surprises that we have for you. So,
Yep.
any final comments for the audience, Bill, before we sign off?
Be careful with the weather and don't watch that damn movie.
Yeah, I guess this goes on the do not recommend list for both of us.
Yes.
And this is coming from me again. Once again, I consider myself to be somewhat of a decent John Carpenter fan, but not for this one. I'm sorry. I even think I like the movie Ghost of Mars more than this one, and that's saying something because some people really hate that movie. And at least it's got action. It's got people shooting guns and stuff. So it's yeah. So, anyways, like Bell said, be careful with the weather. Stay away from mysterious fog out there. Don't drink and drive. Do not be like Tom Atkins in this movie.
No.
It's not cool at all. It's kind of dangerous. So yeah. We hope you had an exciting time listening to this, to us rant and talk crap about this movie. And until we see you in the next one, have a good one.
Bye.